Radio Prague News. Anti-corruption police say they have launched an investigation into the circumstances surrounding a multi-million crown deal between an investment company and the mother of the current industry and trade minister. Environment ministers from the Visegrad countries, Bulgaria and Romania, have agreed that cutting down on carbon dioxide emissions should not harm local economies. And according to a recent poll, 3/5 of Czechs believe the country's economic situation will be worse in 5 years' time. Anti-corruption police say they have launched an investigation into the circumstances surrounding a multi-million crown deal between an investment company and the mother of the current industry and trade minister Martin Kocourek back in 2008. The Daily Mladá Fronta Dnes reported on Friday that in 2008 the firm Key Investments sent bonds worth 16 million crowns or nearly $880,000 to an account owned by the minister's mother, Jindřiška Kocourková. According to a police spokesman, investigators are currently gathering and studying documents. Environment ministers from the Visegrad Group countries, Bulgaria and Romania, have agreed that cutting down on carbon dioxide emissions should not harm local economies, and that the United States, China and other states must also take part in the reductions. The EU produces 12% of total greenhouse gas emissions, but according to the Czech Environment Minister Tomáš Chalupa, it keeps cutting its emissions despite having one of the lowest economic growths. Speaking at a meeting outside Prague on Tuesday, Minister Chalupa said that if the largest polluters do not participate in cutting CO2 emissions, further cuts in Europe would reduce its competitiveness. Police say they have recruited 15 new police officers to be deployed in the Szluknov district in North Bohemia, troubled by racial tensions between Romanis and the majority population. Before the new officers complete their training, riot police from other regions are to take turns in the area for another 6 to 12 months. The riot police presence in the district has cost 40 million crowns since the end of August, but according to police president Petr Lessi, has not managed to reduce petty crime. Unrest in North Bohemia began in August following a number of violent attacks blamed by the locals on members of the Roma minority. A new poll carried out by the STEM agency suggests that almost 3/5 of Czechs believe that the country's economic situation will be worse in 5 years' time. According to the agency, this is the most pessimistic expectation in the last 18 years. STEM also says it has never occurred before that more than 50% of respondents expected a turn for the worse in a five-year perspective. Some 44% of those polled said they expected their household living standard to fall in the coming 5 years. Left-leaning voters and older people tend to have gloomier expectations, the agency said. Officials at a clinic in the eastern town of Olomouc have reported a healthy boy was left in their baby box on Monday evening. Doctors estimate the child's age at around 18 months. The founder of the Czech baby box system, Ludvík Hess, said that he has never encountered a case of such an old child being left in a baby box. The toddler is the third child to be left in the Olomouc baby box of a total of 61 left anonymously in one of the 46 baby box facilities around the country. And finally, the weather. The coming days are expected to be partly cloudy with daytime highs of 12 degrees Celsius. I'm Pavla Horáková. That's the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Daniela Lazarová. Coming up in today's show, a fresh blow to the government's anti-corruption stance, a flight from Pardubice to Prague in a historic Blériot aircraft took place over the weekend to commemorate the pioneering flight of Czech aviator Jan Kašpar in what was then the Austro-Hungarian Empire more than a century ago. And then we'll look at the life and legacy of St. Agnes of Bohemia, one of the nation's most revered patron saints. All that coming up, so do please stay with us. The The Czech government's anti-corruption efforts took a beating when the lower house of parliament last week watered down its public procurement bill, leaving a loophole for non-transparent companies to reach public money. The centre-right cabinet is also fighting an uphill battle against corruption in its own ranks, after reports that Civic Democrat Minister Martin Kocorek's mother became rich overnight with no explanation given by her or her son. Jan Richter reports.
The new Public Procurement Act was meant to be the flagship of the Czech government's anti-corruption strategy. An estimated 60 billion crowns are lost each year in non-transparent public contracting, or 10% of the overall 600 billion procurement budget. To curb this, the bill introduces a series of measures, including a lower 1 million threshold for public tenders. It cancels the notorious practice of picking the contract winners in a draw, and most importantly, it requires bidders to reveal their owners and shareholders. But heavy lobbying in the lower house resulted in some last-minute changes to the law, which critics say effectively crippled the new anti-corruption tool. MPs eventually relaxed the new rules for declaring the owners of bidders and their subcontractors. That means it will still be possible to siphon public money through companies with anonymous owners registered in tax havens. Under criticism from the opposition and leading NGOs, the coalition said it would deal with this issue separately next year. Viktor Paggio is an MP for the coalition Public Affairs Party.
What you're talking about is the issue of anonymous bearer shares. That's something we are about to start working on. The Justice Minister has finally agreed to our proposals, and next year we will abolish these bearer shares in the Czech Republic. And as far as foreign registered companies are concerned, we will have to consult international corporate law, but that does not really concern the Czech Public Procurement Act.
Some of these defects might in fact be fixed sooner than that. The bill will now go to the Senate, controlled by the opposition Social Democrats, who vowed to amend it accordingly. But the Czech centre-right government also faces an old-school scandal in its own ranks, centering on the Industry and Trade Minister Martin Kocorek of the Civic Democrats. The daily Mladá Fronta Dnes reported last week that in 2008, the firm Key Investments sent securities worth 16 million crowns, or nearly $880,000, to an account owned by Minister Kocorek's mother. At that time, Mr. Kocorek was the head of the board of directors of ČEZ, the state-owned power producer, which awarded Key Investments contracts worth millions of crowns. Martin Kameník is a member of leading Czech pro-transparency NGO Oživení. He says the government seems to have relaxed its anti-corruption zeal, which played a crucial role in the last general elections.
I am a little bit skeptic, and I think that the hidden lobbyist groups are very strong, and the previous anti-corruption effort is vaporized in the air, and the government made a big and very often some compromises. The previous goals and previous efforts is weaker and weaker.
Minister Kocorek and his mother refused to provide any details about the transaction, but this was not good enough for Prime Minister Petr Nečas and other coalition leaders who will discuss the case at their meeting later on Tuesday. Meanwhile, the Civic Democrat leadership has given Mr. Kocorek a week to explain his mother's millions.
Jan Richter with that report. Now, away from politics and corruption stories, 2011 marks 100 years since Jan Kašpar, a Czech aviation pioneer, made the first long-distance flight from a town in East Bohemia to the famous Chuchle racetrack near Prague. Kašpar covered the 120 kilometers in a retrofitted single-engine monoplane bought from Blériot after the Frenchman's successful flight over the English Channel. Kašpar's own journey from Pardubice to Chuchle was itself ambitious, and when he arrived, he was given a hero's welcome. This week, in honor of the original flight, the feat was repeated by another Czech pilot, Petr Mára. Jan Wellinger has the details.
Petr Mára originally wanted to repeat Jan Kašpar's famous flight from Pardubice to Chuchle back in May, on the 13th, the exact date 100 years ago when Kašpar attempted and completed his historic journey. But strong winds then meant the attempt in the replica of the original Blero had to be postponed. Another try last weekend proved luckier. Although during a test run the pilot had to dump around 20 liters of fuel to shed excess weight, soon after Mara was able, without further delay, to get off the ground. Lacking navigation tools like Jan Kaspar himself so many years ago, Mara took to the air, and despite straying a little off course once, forcing him to regain his bearings by navigating along the Sázava River, he arrived at Prague's Kukla racetrack on Saturday around 3:30 p.m. Asked how cold it had been 500 meters above the ground, Petr Mara insisted that even in poor November weather, things weren't too bad in the plane, although admittedly he was wearing about 4 layers of clothes, from his underwear to World War II headgear and goggles against the wind.
I wasn't even cold. It's quite physically demanding up there, so I can even say I broke a sweat. As for the machine, it worked perfectly.
By contrast, Jan Kaspar, 100 years ago, flew between 100 and 200 meters above the ground, but his exact route, because of today's airspace and city infrastructure, could not be retraced. Otherwise, though, as much as possible, it was a copy of the original event. Václav Vondrášek, who built the replica, says the model closely followed the design of the original plane.
The plane is built to resemble the original and to meet specifics outlined by the Czech Amateur Aviators Association as well.
The plane did have a stronger and also heavier engine, one reason excess fuel had to be siphoned off, even though headwinds were mild. Pilot Petr Mara had been less optimistic ahead of the event, gauging the chances at 50-50. But in the end, the flight went off without a hitch. Organizers now hope to repeat the flight on a regular basis annually and to reintroduce other classic planes, not just the Blériot, to Czech skies.
Jan Wellinger with that report. Now, this Saturday, a special mass will be celebrated in honor of St. Agnes of Bohemia on the 22nd anniversary of her canonization by the Roman Catholic Church in 1989. In a couple of weeks' time, a large exhibition will open in the convent of St. Agnes in Prague, founded by Agnes herself. Those are just two events in a long series to mark the 800th birthday anniversary of one of the country's most revered patron saints. In today's Czech history, Pavla Horáková looks at the life and legacy of this extraordinary noblewoman.
I'm standing outside the Gothic convent of St. Agnes, not far from the Vltava River in Prague. This medieval complex is part of the material legacy of the Přemyslid princess, St. Agnes of Bohemia, but her spiritual legacy has proved to be just as lasting. Born in the year 1211, Princess Agnes, or Aneška in Czech, was predestined by birth to live a life of luxury at one of Europe's royal courts. Yet, inspired by other religious figures of her time, she dedicated her life to service and sacrifice. Historian Vít Vlnas from the Czech National Gallery.
Aneška byla žena, která se...
Agnes was a princess born into the royal family. Her father was King Přemysl Otakar I, one of the most important monarchs in Czech history, a man who was behind the rise of the Czech state. And therefore Agnes was a sought-after bride. But she decided not to follow this secular path and joined the religious order of Poor Clares. She herself later established the religious order of Knights of the Cross with the Red Star, the only religious order to originate in Bohemia which exists to this day. As a member of the Order of Poor Clares, she founded a convent in Prague and became its first Mother Superior.
So this woman, who could have influenced not only the fate of the Czech lands but the whole of Central Europe, devoted her attention to charity and care for the sick and poor, working in two hospitals in Prague.
For centuries, she has been perceived as a moving character because she did not see the meaning of her life in earthly goods, political power, and material wealth, but rather in the spiritual sphere. She sacrificed herself for the sake of others and tried to improve the world in a different way than rich people and politicians usually do. We must not forget, though, that beyond the convent walls, Agnes was still a noble woman, and we know that as a respected and venerated daughter, sister, and aunt of Czech rulers, and as the spiritual mother of the Přemyslid dynasty, she was able to discipline the quarreling Přemyslid family.
The convent Agnes founded was the first convent of the Order of Poor Clares north of the Alps, and at that time also one of the most modern buildings in Prague. Vítvlnas again.
Anežský klášter založila svatá Anežka Česká.
Agnes founded the convent and hospital in the 1230s. Apart from the poor ladies' convent, there was also a monastery of the Friars Minor on the premises, whose cloister still exists. Even though her order was a poor mendicant order, obeying a simple rule, the convent was built with ostentatious splendor. It was one of the first Gothic structures built in the Czech lands. Its Church of St. Salvators is one of the most magnificent medieval architectural monuments in Bohemia. Its splendor is related to the fact that the church was intended from the start as the burial site of Czech kings and queens.
Jako pohřebiště českých králů a královen.
The convent saw its golden era when Agnes was its mother superior. It suffered a terrible blow in Hussite times. The poor Clares and Friars Minor had to leave the premises, and before they returned later in the 15th century, the place was run by the Dominicans. After flourishing again in the Baroque period in the 18th century, the convent was closed down in 1782 by Emperor Joseph II. During the slum clearance at the turn of the 19th century, it narrowly escaped demolition. Efforts to save this unique place culminated in the 20th century when research and renovation were carried out in several stages. In 1963, the convent was acquired by the National Gallery, and in 1978 it was declared a national monument. Even though Agnes's convent today houses a gallery, few portraits of this generous sponsor of religious art have been preserved, as historian Vítvlnas explains.
She has not been depicted too often compared to other Czech saints. That's partly because she was only officially beatified in the 19th century and canonized at the end of the 20th century. But there are a number of outstanding monuments dating back to the 14th century, the best known being the so-called Puchner's Ark from the 15th century, which is a large panel altarpiece intended for the Prague Knights of the Cross. Agnes was most frequently portrayed in connection with the Knights of the Cross. More portraits come from the 19th century. Perhaps the most famous portrait of St. Agnes is her statue by Josef Václav Myslbek, which is part of the statue of St. Wenceslas in Prague.
After a life of service, poverty, and illness, Agnes died at the age of 71 in the year 1282. She was buried in the convent church, but her remains were moved in the 14th century, allegedly to be saved from floods and later Hussite attacks. All attempts to find her remains over the centuries have failed. The most recent investigation in the nearby church of St. Castellus in early 2010 brought no results.
The archaeological investigation in the convent itself is now practically finished. The poor Clares themselves began the search in the 17th century when they tried to find the remains of their founder. Twice they believed they had succeeded, but neither of the finds confirmed their expectations. The convent and its surroundings was one large burial ground in the Middle Ages and early modern times. In the past, a great number of skeletal remains were found there, but none could be identified with certainty as the remains of St. Agnes of Bohemia. So as for the convent itself, there is no hope left. I believe that in the case of St. Agnes, it is not important, at least for me, to have her physical remains. It is important that we can partake in her spiritual legacy. As for her physical remains, we do have some relics. Perhaps the most complete relic of Agnes is kept in the Escorial in Madrid, but there is a small and as yet unidentified relic, perhaps belonging to St. Agnes in the Czech lands too.
Neidentifikovaný zřejmě ostatek svaté Anežky.
Despite the long-standing efforts of her compatriots, Agnes of Bohemia was not beatified until almost 600 years after her death. She was finally canonized by Pope John Paul II on November 12, 1989, just 5 days before the events of November the 17th triggered the Velvet Revolution, leading to the fall of the communist regime in Czechoslovakia. For some people, that was a confirmation of an old legend.
That is based on a 15th century prophecy ascribed to Provost Papoušek of Litoměřice, who said that Bohemia will not prosper until Agnes is canonized. And it is true that her canonization preceded the breaking events of November 1989. It is a question of faith whether we consider it a mere coincidence or a matter of cause and effect, but it is for sure that no one can ever take that away from Agnes.
Svaté Anežce už tohle nikdy nikdo neodpáře.
The act of founding a convent and a hospital was unique in that it introduced the ideals of the newly established Franciscan movement in this country, along with its cardinal idea of respect and love to every human being, especially to the poor and suffering. Princess Agnes set up the first charity service in this country, which eventually led to the establishment of the only originally Bohemian religious order of the Knights of the Cross with the Red Star. And so, more than 7 centuries after her death, the legacy of Saint Agnes of Bohemia still lives on.
That edition of Czech History was prepared and presented by Pavla Horáková. Now, in the remaining time we have, we're offering you another Czech lesson. In view of its enormous popularity, Radio Prague is repeating its Sound Czech mini-series, and today's lesson is with Jan Pelinger.
A nikde nezádila smrt, kdybych měl velikej hever, jenže já mám prd.
Welcome to this edition of Soundcheck, Radio Prague's Czech language series, in which you can learn new phrases with the help of song lyrics. Today's song is by Czech rock musician Vladimír Mišík and is called Veliký hever. The phrase to look out for is the somewhat incongruous mít prd, which means to have nothing or to have little to show for something, such as one's efforts, or even to have a miserable sum on your bank account. The funny thing is that in Czech, prd, of course, means a fart, and prdnout means, well, to pass wind. But if you say mám prd, it means something entirely different, having nothing much. You might say, mohl jsem mít všechno, I could have had it all, ale nakonec mám prd. But in the end, I've got nothing, or too little to bear mentioning. How much did you win in the lottery? Vyhrál jsem prd, I won nothing, or nothing much.
Kdybych měl velikej hever, jenže já mám prd.
Important to note, the expression does not imply so much that one is poor as that something planned didn't pay off, perhaps a gamble, a risk taken that saw no real results, maybe an ill-fated project at work that didn't come to fruition, or failed plans for the summer, or a failure to win on poker night. A more polite way of expressing something similar might be nevyhrál jsem, nic z toho nebude, or nevyšlo to, I lost, nothing will come out of it, or it didn't work out. If you bluff in cards, for example, and then are forced to reveal your hand by an opponent who suspected you were putting on an act, you might grumble, nemám nic, mám prd, I've got zilch, I've got doodly squat.
A nikde nezádila smrt, kdybych měl veliký hever, jenže já mám prd.
Of course, there are plenty of things you might have which no one suspected. If we stick to the card game example, můžeš mít eso v rukávu, you can have an ace up your sleeve. Or if it looks like your chances are good at winning a hand, you could say, má nagej na úspěch, he's got a chance of succeeding. Besides leisure, another area where it's often make or break is, of course, sport, where there is often a fine line between success and failure. Mohl mít všechno, ale nemá nic. He could have had it all, but he has nothing.
Kdybych měl veliký hever, jenže já mám prd.
Lots of people use the slang expression in a self-derogatory way to express things aren't great, but it's important to point out it's a far cry from being totally broke and in real trouble. If someone, for example, was in real financial straits, you'd probably say something quite different. Má hluboko do kapsy, which means it's a long way into his pocket. He's hard up. Not to be confused with what deep pockets mean in English. Another way of saying it would be to say the somewhat vulgar Má holý zadek. He's got a bare bum. That's how poor he is. He hasn't got two pennies to rub together. Having prt is not quite as dire, even if it's nothing to write home about.
Kdybych měl veliký hever, jenže já mám prt.
That edition of Soundcheck with Jan Wellinger, and you will find the entire Soundcheck series at www.radio.cz, along with all of Radio Prague's programmes in text and sound. And I'm afraid that's all we have for you today. Should you like to contact us, our email address is english@radio.cz. We'll be glad to hear from you, as always. This is Daniela Zerová saying thanks for joining us. Goodbye.